With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
I know you.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
Say, I don't even know your name.
ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media station.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What's up, sports mappers? Welcome to the fray on an F Yeah Friday in the big city. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio having a good old time. And as we always tell you to do, if you're just joining us on the map and you didn't catch the first 2 hours of the show, shame on you. But you can catch it post-mortem by going back to ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab. Catch the hours that you missed. F, obviously, on an FEF Friday stands for funny. And so it just to kind of fill you in on, again, what you missed, our comedian of the week is Victor Tran at Victorious BIG93, but Barry gave you the backstory there. We'll have one more clip of his at 3:15, but having a good time with that and the clips that Barry has provided there. So good stuff. We've covered the gamut, a lot of sports, lots of other things. And of course, we've covered the fact that Nick has sufficiently pissed off a good portion of our listening audience today.
I don't know if I would say, I don't know if I would say pissed off, maybe more
fired
like
fired him up,
baffled. They're like, what a dumbass. Like, what is he thinking? I tend to believe that 90% of what's coming in is in jest. That you guys can't be this mean.
There were
like five texts that I was like, ugh, that was not nice. But I assume it's hard to, like, there's a lot of name calling going on in those five texts, but it's hard to tell if it's in jest or if they're serious. So I just, I'm not going to read them. But I will read the rest of them. Bermuda grass lawn aerator.
Oh, God.
Now that I have your attention, what AFC teams do you guys think would be the least most favorable matchup for the Houston Texans? Mike in San Antonio, we talked about this yesterday.
Yep.
I believe you texted this question yesterday and we answered it. So I will refer you to the podcast from December 6th. But if you want to know about Bermuda grass and aeration, you should aerate your lawn at least twice a year. I used to think Nick was the smartest on this show.
Well, first of all, what the hell's wrong with you?
But now, if you don't mind me asking, how much shorter was your bus than the others? That's not nice, sir.
Wow.
Not nice indeed. Coming from a woman's point of view. Oh, go ahead. You were going to say something?
No, I wasn't. Oh.
coming from a woman's point of view, tell Nick. That is the dumbest statement I have ever heard someone make. It sounds as if he could use a few more lessons in etiquette. That was the only mean one I was going to read because it was from a woman, and I want to make sure that their texts get read. Plus, it was nice to see you.
I should tweet out the mean ones.
Not to be rude, but is Barry black?
Fact.
What? Why are you spreading?
I'm not spreading. Everybody thinks you're black.
Okay, just... but them thinking it and you saying fact is two completely different things.
Well,
entirely.
Due diligence.
But yes, Texter, that has been a question asked ad nauseum since this show has started. And the answer is and continues to be no, I am not black.
But you're Jewish, right?
Jewish, yeah.
No, I am not Jewish either.
You sure? There was one other one.
If you don't mind me asking.
Several people said Happy Hanukkah, didn't
they? No. This might be my favorite text of all. It just simply says, send Nick to the Blitz.
Why?
It's Radio Siberia. They're just like, get his ass out of here. You've been punished. Now go to the Blitz. That's where you go. You go to the Blitz.
I get killed enough on this show. I'm not trying to go to the Blitz and get killed even more.
Exactly. I asked a teacher once if she was pregnant, and she replied, nope, I'm just fat. I can respect the honesty
bet
in that.
Bet you didn't pass that class.
No, I bet you failed that for sure. Somebody said, best segment ever, guys. I take umbrage with that. That's, of all the gems I've produced, you're going to say Nick's idiocy is the best segment ever? Okay. I'm going to have to say, that's not even the best segment this week. The chicken patty story was.
That was pretty funny, though.
But your idiocy is a close second. it's like when Jeff Ireland asked Dez Bryant if his mom was still a hooker. Exactly. And we're going to end it on that because that's the point. He can't just say, if you don't mind me asking, Dez.
It was already public knowledge, though.
Is your mom still a hooker? But him saying, if you don't mind me asking, doesn't make it okay.
Legitimate question.
No, it's not.
Either way, it's not.
No, it's not.
Even with the precursor of, if you don't mind me asking.
It's a beautiful thing about our show. We can all agree to disagree.
And one of us can always be wrong.
We do it daily. Yes. We pretty much do it segment by segment.
Yeah, I was going to say, minute by minute, we disagree and argue. It's
no question about it.
I don't know if it's the beauty of this show, but it is the theme.
It is almost a prerequisite. Yeah.
Indeed.
So the rumor out there, by the way, I don't know if you guys saw this. Nick, your thoughts, of course. You talked about this earlier, Barry, about the fact that the Rockets, with as bad as they're playing, could get something back if they trade Carmelo Anthony. Mm-hmm. Who the hell wants him because of the fact that they know they're going to cut him, if nothing else? He's still taking up a roster spot, but now the reports are coming out. LeBron James wants him with the Lakers. Again, I ask you, and if you don't mind me asking, why in the hell would a team playing as well as the Lakers are playing with a roster as bad as they are, aside from LeBron James, would you want Carmelo Anthony to screw it all up?
Yeah, I think he thinks he can either fix him or alleviate some of the scoring. I don't know
what
he's thinking.
Or at least have someone to drink wine with.
Yeah, I'm not sure what he's thinking, but obviously not clearly.
I mean, because that's the thing. I saw Richard Jefferson on Get Up this morning say, I mean, the biggest thing now is the Rockets don't have the built-in excuse of this is all Carmelo Anthony's fault. Now he's gone.
Yeah.
Why would the Lakers need a built-in excuse for the fact that they may start losing games because they've been playing so well? Why would anybody want this guy?
There's really not a lot to it. He can score and that's it.
I mean, with the Lakers, too, remember there was also that report or rumor about him like inquiring about being a Laker before he became a Rocket.
I had said that was the landing spot I anticipated him going to. He has a house there. He works out at UCLA all summer with Harden and Paul and these guys.
But apparently there was a report that he didn't return a call, though, like because he didn't want to take that bench role. I think what happened was like when a few teams told him, hey, it looks like it's going to be a bench role, then he realized he had to take a gig with being a bench role with the Rockets. I don't think he expected to be in a bench role going into the offseason last year.
How does this guy keep getting the priority of being able to say, I don't want to take a bench role when everything about his game over the last 2 years
sucks.
Has said,
bench.
You're lucky to have a bench role.
Yeah. I think wherever he goes is going to be a bench role. And maybe, you know, maybe it not at the Lakers. But even then,
the only team I've heard that has shown remote interest is the Brooklyn Nets because they said it'd be like coming home. They could sell tickets. There would be something that would entice the fans to want to come out and see the team play while they're in the complete rebuild mode.
At this point, that might make sense for them.
Sure, but other than that, and why would they have to trade for him when they know that every other damn team in the league is going, I ain't touching that.
Yeah,
I don't want anything.
Well, Bobby Marks from that podcast that Barry was referring to, he did Woj's podcast a few weeks ago, and he thought, or he feels like they're waiting for that December 15 deadline in hopes of him going to the waiver wire. Someone claims him, and then they can remove that money from the books. I don't know if that's going to happen, but if they could get a G Leaguer even for him, because at that point, they're going to own, on the contract, there's going to be about $1 million left on that contract. Maybe get a G Leaguer or something like that.
Prorated because it was 2.4 at the start of the
right.
year.
Yeah. Right. So there's going to be about $1 million left on that contract come December 15th. If you can get somebody, you know, for that $1 million, maybe like a G Leaguer or some young prospect that you think that might make an immediate impact. I just don't know if that's going
to
happen.
So Daryl Morey hasn't impressed anybody this whole year. You find someone to take that Carmelo Anthony contract, might be the first impressive thing you've done all season. I don't know who the hell.
Really, it's only $1 million though. If there's only $1 million left on the contract, is it really that big a risk?
No, to trade for him.
Why would you
trade for him when you could get him for, and it's less than $1 million? Like you're saying, just wait and pick him
that's
up.
That's true. It's true.
So,
yeah,
that's just ridiculous to me.
Pretty dumb.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You had mentioned this, switching back to football, though. Did you see, this is a Green Bay trick, but at least they pay him. The Bills are trying to bribe fans into shoveling snow.
I realize some people might want a job with the NFL.
Now, you realize at Lambeau, they pay you like $10 an hour.
to shovel
$10 an hour.
They pay fans like $10 an hour to go in leading up to the Sunday game or whenever the game is and shovel because there's no seat. It's all bleachers. So essentially, fans make cake. They can make some pretty good coin.
Here's what their post said about needing shovelers. Shovelers can shovel snow throughout the day on Friday and into the night on Friday night if needed. Rate of pay, $12 an hour. Not 10. Well, not that cheap-ass Green Bay
see,
10.
I'm guessing at what it was, Buffalo. But nonetheless, yeah, they've been doing that.
It's probably the same. Lunch and dinner breaks will be provided throughout the shifts. In a
what
comfortable,
about condoms? Because we know Bills fans during their timeouts are going to be banging it out.
In addition, a complimentary Buffalo Bills football game ticket will be given to those that work a four-hour shift or longer. Those interested in shoveling must have proper photo ID. Why do you need ID?
Because they're going to be banging it out during stoppages. And don't they also break tables? Isn't that their other thing? During tailgating and stuff, they jump off of things and break tables like wrestlers?
Here's the best part. Prospective snow shovelers are also asked to dress appropriately for the weather and to bring their own shovels.
Oh, come on.
Come on, Buffalo. You don't have enough people to shovel your own stadium, and now they got to bring their own shovel?
And what if a dude shows up with a snow blower?
Yeah. Good luck getting that through the aisles. Do they have seats, not bleachers like Lambeau?
I hope you don't mind me asking, but to the female crowd, when you have sex with a guy in the bathroom, do we call it a snow blower?
Well, you're on your own.
I said, I'm off the hook, though, because I started it with, if you don't mind me asking. Yeah, so yeah, I'm okay.
That's true. You did. You bailed yourself out there at the end.
I tried because, again, like other things on this show, sometimes the audience just doesn't get the bit. So I will continue to dad joke for you people just to appease the hate text.
That's true. One more thing before we go to break, and I know Clarence would love to hear this, but the Saints and Pelicans owner surprised over 400 people by paying off almost 100,000 in orders at the local Walmart. Gail Benson went out there.
Mrs. Benson, yeah.
Yeah, $93,502 she paid them as a kind of a secret Santa. She said we were all excited. The payment was done anonymously at first, but the Saints organization later confirmed it. And she's just basically out there paying off some folks' gifts.
It's awesome.
It's great to see that. Somebody else did that. I don't remember who
it
was.
You know who should do that?
Who?
Arthur Blank, who's associated with Walmart, would get a discount on the deal and a tax break.
Yeah.
Go ahead and do that too, Art.
Is it pretty Walmart cool. or Home Depot?
I thought Arthur Blank was
the Home Depot guy.
No, I thought it was Walmart.
No, that's
the Home Depot guy.
Well, do it at Home Depot then, Art. Yeah. I'll call my Uncle Art and see what I can do. Arthur Blank.
408 people who had orders on layaway at Walmart in the Crescent City, and she went down there and spent $100K and paid them all off.
Fantastic, right?
Very
there.
Cool.
All right, we're rolling through the final hour of the big show for an FEF Friday. Victor Tran coming up with one more clip as our comedian of the week. And we still got more to get to, including our picks. So we'll get some NFL picks along the way as well. And you can join the show if you'd like. 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects. SportsMap 94.1 and, of course, ESPN 97.5. Time for you.
ESPN
97.5.
Join us.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
That's my dad. I don't know, man. My family's crazy. I got to move out soon. I'm getting too old to live there. I just don't know when the right time is to move out. Right? I think it's... When is it? I'm hoping it's just whenever you start to go bald. Right? That should be the age when you move. You know, if your dad can see your scalp, it's not the move out. That should be the way. Right? Yeah, yeah, that's the baldness rule. Yeah. And it works because it explains why each race stays at home for the length that they do, right? Baldness rule, yeah. Asians and Hispanics hold on to our hair, so we just stay at home for forever. Right? Yeah. 17 people to a household, you've seen it, right? Yeah. It's true. White people, they get kicked out at 18 because they start balding at 17. Yeah. And then black babies just stay bald, so their dads move out, actually. So.
That was Victor Tran, at VictoriousBIG93 on Twitter, your Comedian of the Week on this F Yeah Friday. Welcome back to The Usual Suspects. Joel said he's sitting out just because I had a direction I wanted to go, so that's fine. That's you're more than happy to
I honestly don't know what happened in the break, so.
He just said, well, I was going to do this thing. And I was like, well, I had a couple things I wanted to bring up first. He goes, well, that's fine. I'll just sit it out until you get done. So
there's a lot more to the story, but it's fine. As normally is the case.
I was literally just baiting him into coming back. Just trying to bait. I was going to make it as bad as possible to get him to respond.
You don't mind me asking.
very nice callback, my friend.
Thank you.
Kevin Hart. Ooh. In the news, I've got to talk about this, doing what I do and being who I am. But Kevin Hart had to step down from hosting the Oscars this year for homophobic tweets that resurfaced online on his Twitter account. Some of those included things like, yo, if my son comes home and tries to play with my daughter's dollhouse, I'm going to break it over his head and say in my voice, stop, that's gay. And that's probably the only appropriate one that I could read on air that he tweeted out. But he had a bunch of them. And then this guy named Efren Franco went after him. Another guy, Adam B. Vary, went after him and pointed it out. And he's decided, this one guy dug up a lot of texts about him using the F word, not the F U word, but the F A word. Mm-hmm. And it was a bad look for Kevin. And I would say, so a lot of people will tell you that it was offensive and that it was, you know, disgusting. And I would say it was presidential, really. It was, honest to God, it's no worse than what our president has tweeted in the past. And I was going to say,
don't be a hater, but I would spell that H-A-D-E-R because didn't he learn from Josh Hader, right?
At this point, all he's doing, all Hart is doing now, he's ready for a campaign run in 2020. I mean, if some of the stuff that Trump has tweeted out has been no worse. So I get why he stepped down. I totally get it. It was in poor taste. I'll tell you this, and it's a very long Facebook message that I'm not going to read. But a friend of a friend reposted a message on Facebook from a gentleman who is gay. And he said, look, it's too late to get mad about this now. And he was literally calling out folks on the left, liberals. He's like, it's too late, guys. You had the opportunity to be upset about this 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. This isn't his first public tweet. It's just more in vogue for liberals to be upset about this. And I thought he made great points. Where were you 10 years ago? Where were you 25 years ago? This is just feeding into your ego about getting mad. And look, there's things that what I don't understand the most is, as a celebrity, if you're getting as big as Kevin Hart, you have enough money to pay someone to sit down and go through your timeline and just delete all this. Just get rid of it. You can apologize for it if it ever resurfaces. Yeah. But why on earth would you let that stuff sit there? I just don't understand it. But and I'm sure I pissed off some people with some of the comments and jokes that I made. Yeah. And that's fine. You don't have to like what I said. It's crazy to me that 10 years ago or 8 years ago or whenever it was, he said those things. And they were not – it wasn't the – you know, it was bad. It was in poor taste. But instead of just apologizing, he's apologized and stepped down.
Is there any way that he can spin it that you can't tell tone? He was just kidding. Like Eddie Murphy used to do a lot of homophobic comedy, or not a lot, but he'd have homophobic comedy within his routines. I'm asking.
Well, I don't think so, because it's kind of, you know, once you use that word, that offensive word, he said, I don't know. I'm trying to think of the way.
But you know what I'm saying, right? Because yeah. Eddie used to have some stuff in his shows and albums and everything else.
So he said, here's an example, which is just, I don't know. It just says, why does Wayne215 have so many pictures of me on his phone? What are you, some type of fat F-A, mm-hmm. right. you know, that takes pics of small black men all day? Like here's part of the problem. So
you don't need tone for that one.
No, but he's roasting his friends. And I heard someone say this once, and I tend to agree a little bit. But sometimes we use words that we really don't mean the word as it was intended. Mm-hmm. For example, and I'm just going to give this as an in this word that he used, the ag word, we'll just say ag, A-G. We'll just leave off the first part. But that word, there are a lot of people that will use that with their friends, men, guys on guys, that are just two dudes hanging out, and, yep. and one will call the other one in jest or whatever. Not saying it's right, not saying it's wrong, but it's part of that vernacular that they'll say. Similar to the fact that on this show, we call each other bitch yep. a lot.
Very true.
A lot. Like, I use the word, and you guys have gotten on to me about calling a female a douchebag. Yep. And so some of these words don't the intent isn't necessarily there behind the meeting. And I'm not excusing what Kevin Hart said. What I'm saying is that there's a lot of times amongst guys where we'll call our friend that, just messing around, and it's not meant to be derogatory. It doesn't make it right, but the meaning isn't what I think folks think this was.
Yeah, and Kevin, I mean, look, Kevin has been in some controversial situations because of his personal life yes. for quite some time now. I mean, I would imagine this is something that he learns from.
Like, yeah.
Because it sucks that you can't be completely honest when you're a celebrity because, like Joel always talks about, you can't really tell tone and text.
Yeah.
Whether it's in tweets or in a text message, I wonder if the Oscars told him, look, you need to step down because if you don't, we're trying to do you a favor.
Yeah. Here's the other thing. Barry brings up a good point, but entertainers should take a lesson from athletes. It's because of the fact that I kid when I said Josh Hader's situation, but Josh Hader wasn't the only one. And if you just see, they're not to the stature and popularity level of entertainers in most cases. But at the same time, it doesn't matter where they are. It was in the public eye. It was yep. publicized. And you all have staffs. Most of these people have a staff of PR people and assistants and everybody else. And like you said, it's a fantastic point. Somewhere along the lines of all the people in your circle, take the time to just go back. And you know what you've tweeted in the past. You yeah. don't know the exact verbatim of them, but you know enough to go, you know, there was a couple years ago I was pretty salty about some things, and I decided to just let some stuff fly. But get rid of it now before it can really do some serious damage.
Yeah, and here's the flip side of this argument, though. So, and I'm just, again, trying not to – that word, that F word – is the N-word for that particular group.
Sure.
You just can't say that word. So if you're wondering, I'm sure there's some people that, because I just said, I mean, I kind of made the joke, but it is funny that the president has said just as yep. many offensive things, and he became the president after saying those things. But for some reason, Kevin Hart can't host the Oscars. I say that tongue-in-cheek and as a joke, but put yourself in a different situation. Imagine it's not Kevin Hart, a black guy, using the F-word about gays, but it's a white guy using the N-word
Boom,
to his buddies, then it's a bigger and I think more offensive to a lot more people, when really it should be just as offensive when he uses that word. Again, back to some of these athletes, we've seen white athletes whose Twitter accounts have been exposed. They've used that word, whether they're quoting rap lyrics.
I was gonna say, that's the biggest thing is they say they're quoting rap
lyrics. Or whether
they're
messing with some of their white friends and using the word. At the end of the day, there are certain words you just can't use.
Yep.
You just can't do it. And unfortunately for Kevin Hart, this was one of those words.
No question about it. All right, we're going to do picks next, because then Barry's got to hit the road, and we're going to get ready to turn it over to the Blitz at 4, where you don't have to do a thing, and you will have them, Fred, AJ, and Jong, that is, entertain you all the way till 7. It's the Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
final half hour of the show. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and a Sports Map 94.1. If you missed anything, shame on you. We were just talking about Kevin Hart not doing the Oscars anymore based on some old tweets that have resurfaced that don't put him in a very good light.
Mm-mm.
And I guess we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Obviously, you haven't, not meaning you, Barry, or Nick, but you, the listeners, because the responses are flooding in.
Yeah, as I figured. Whenever you talk about a subject like that, and, you know, I made some jokes, and people get upset, and that's okay.
And ironically, I just delete those tweets and keep on keeping on. To not be racist with us, which we have not heard from all day.
Mm-hmm. Imagine that.
Suddenly, we're on rapid fire with messages when we got to a racist type tweet.
Yeah.
Or a subject, I should
say. Go figure. We're going to do some NFL picks.
Let's
because
do
I'm
it.
Out of here after this.
Let's do it.
Well, can we get an update on the records?
No. See, this is...
No, I put all the games in, but the records...
Bitch.
I mean, I'm sorry.
How do you not have the records?
Good job, Nick. Let's go to the picks.
Oh, we'll get them next week if I have to do it my damn self.
No, I have it all updated. I just didn't add the records.
Can we get a murder?
Okay,
like
I'll tell you this.
Year.
I will tell
can
you this.
Can we get an update on AJ's picks?
Barry went 5-0 last week in the NFL.
Yeah.
Damn, that's strong.
Again.
I went 3-2 and Joel went 3-2. So you did good this week.
Yep.
Barry.
I've done good every week. I tell you guys.
Not last year.
I don't know why I'm... That's true. But you know what, Joel? I don't live in the past.
I do.
But, man, I just – I went –
what did
you
do with AJ's picks
this
week?
12-4 last week. One of the four I sent to AJ. I do it every single week, but I get these picks right. So pay attention when I talk.
I hope you don't mind me asking, but why are you dumb with AJ's pick?
I have no idea. It's just because, you know why? Because I started off hot and bragged about it. And
yeah, you did.
Murphy's
no
Law,
doubt about that.
It's my luck. Anytime I get hyped and start, like, thumping my chest about something, it goes the opposite way completely. So
right.
This week, I'll go 0-5.
It'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting
Absolutely.
To see.
Absolutely.
All right, first game. The Ravens are on the road. They head to Kansas City, and obviously the Kansas City Chiefs are favored. -6.5. For the Chiefs, I am comfortable with saying the Chiefs will cover by a touchdown.
I am too. And weather could be a factor. You don't know at this point. But I believe that the Chiefs are out to make a statement that they can still win without Kareem Hunt. That they're going to try and keep this train moving down the tracks regardless. And I think if this was over 7, I would definitely think the Ravens have a chance. And their defense is no joke. But I'll take, as long as it's under 7, I'll take the Chiefs.
This is happening in Kansas City. Is that correct?
Yep.
It's a home game for
yep.
the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. As good as that defense is with the Ravens, I like their chances of keeping it close but not winning. So give me the Ravens and the points.
Okie doke. All right. We will move on. Philadelphia, Dallas. They play again in Dallas. -3.5 points for the Cowboys this time.
So essentially, it's a half a point game.
It is. This is basically a pick'em.
They won by 7 the last time they faced.
Not necessarily a
and
pick'em.
And a do or die
but they're
the
saying,
Eagles.
They're saying on a neutral field,
right.
The Cowboys will be a half point
right.
favorite. But
right.
they're getting 3 points because they're at home.
They're heating up. I see that Sean Lee is getting close to playing. If not, by the way, Leighton Vander Esch, they would sit down and
That's
bring
crazy.
Off the bench. As good as Sean Lee is, you can't sit that kid down the way he's playing.
No.
But I think the Cowboys are playing, getting hot at the right time. They're going to remain hot. They're at home where they play better. I'll take the Cowboys at home.
All right. I will. I like the Eagles and the points. So on the road, I know that the Cowboys are hot. The Eagles are starting to heat up. As you said, these two teams are very similar. So if you're going to give me 3.5 points when these two teams face off, I'll take that. So give me the Eagles and the points.
I like the Cowboys at home as well, and I like them to cover.
I like you guys going 0-2.
Nick right. and I 2-0 so far. Barry 0-2. Go ahead.
All right. L.A. Rams, they are on the road versus Chicago. Barry, it's -3 for the Rams on the road?
Yes.
Okay, because you put the lines on this time.
Yes. The last time I saw, Rams were favored by 3.
It is. It's still, I'm looking at Vegas. I just wanted to make sure because I'm just kind of shocked at the line, to be honest with you.
I thought it would be a little higher.
But yeah.
With Trubisky.
Trubisky's back.
Questionable, but probably yep. going to play. I think that that Bears defense is what keeps them in games. Oh, they can put up points. They can score 28, 29 a game. Can they hang with the Rams? Rams have a good defense. My spreadsheet tells me to take the Bears, because they're at home, and I think weather could be a factor. I don't know what it is, but
it's getting bad up there.
It's getting cold up there. The spreadsheet says take the Bears, but I think in this case I'm going to take the Rams.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Rams as well. I just believe that they could ball control is no problem with Todd Gurley. The fact of the matter is their defense is going to force the Bears to do some things that they don't want to do. Tariq Cohen has been fantastic, Nick, as you know, with your fantasy pickup.
He has.
But playing against a defense as good as the Rams, it's going to change some things and maybe force the Bears to try and run the ball a little bit more. I'm not counting on Tariq Cohen to go between the tackles on a consistent basis and get it done with that defensive front. I'll take the Rams and give the points.
Yeah, I don't know if Vegas knows something that we don't, but I'm still going to take the Rams, and I'm going to take them to cover as well. By the way, I didn't make the playoffs. I thought I did. I was one of three 6-7 teams that did not make the playoffs.
Well, you shouldn't make the playoffs.
No, you didn't.
And you shouldn't make the playoffs as a loser.
Stupid fantasy league anyway.
You're 6-7. That's a loser record.
Whatever. There was 14 teams. All right. Minnesota versus Seattle. Seattle is favored -3 at home.
I'm telling you what. This one I could not believe. I know Seattle plays well at home, but the Vikings, they need every win right now. And I think they're starting to play better football. And Dalvin Cook's running the football. Their defense is starting to play better. I like the Vikings on the road here.
Talk about hot teams. Talk about teams getting it done. And you talk about a guy making something out of nothing. That's Russell Wilson. Seattle is at home where they're very tough to beat. I like the run that they're on. And I think that this is a close game, even with the spread. But I'll go ahead and take the Seahawks at home, giving up the 3.
I wanted to give this to Minnesota. I think Diggs is kind of a, I don't want to say X factor, but it is important for him to play well. But he's been iffy with a rib injury and then with a leg injury. I think it really messes things up for Minnesota. I really like Seattle at home. I think they will cover.
Okay.
All right, last game, Indianapolis. They come to Houston, -4.5 points for the Texans at NRG Stadium.
Texans giving 4. If that injury report wasn't that long, I might see this a different way, but I believe the streak continues. Barry and I were both in agreement. Philadelphia is going to be the game that gives the Texans the best risk of having the streak snapped. I believe the streak remains intact. I believe that the Texans win by more than 4.
Here's what's crazy. So Texans scoring 25 and giving up 19 a game. Colts scoring 27, giving up 23 a game. That tells you their offense can hang with the Texans. In fact, they probably put up a couple more points. Defense not as good. I actually have this being a 24-23 game in favor of the Texans, which means if you add the points that they have to give up, that's 27.5-24 in favor of the Colts. I'll take the Colts and the points, but I still think the Texans win the game.
I believe. I think Texans win, and I think they cover. Okay. I'm not ready to.
As bad as the Colts looked last week, I don't blame you.
Yeah, I think they'll cover. I don't even know if the Eagles is the game that they're going to lose to. I was thinking the same thing. Like Texans? I was in complete agreement.
So then you think the Texans win out?
I'm starting to think that because if you look at if they win this Colts game, I feel like they're going to feel untouchable.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a bad untouchable. I feel like they're going to. I think it's going to be a good confidence.
Remember, it was a really close game the last time they played. Frank Wright loved to go for it on fourth down. That's been backfiring on him all year. Like I said, I have this being if you ask me for a score, I'd tell you 24-23, 24-21, something like that. Going to be a close game. But when you add those points, that's why I think. So, again, I think the Texans win. Mm-hmm. But I can see the Colts covering it. Do you think it's not going to be close?
I'm not saying that at all. But I just think that, look, there's. To Nick's point, they've built a lot of momentum, and I keep saying and I keep harping on this. The good thing about it, whether you believe that they've earned every win or not, is they've gotten better with each passing week.
Yep.
They're starting to look like a better than serviceable football team now. They're making the right strides in the right areas of their entire game, offense, defense, special teams. And I think that being at home with that kind of momentum means something, and I think that whether it's a late extra touchdown or field goal that puts them over the top or not, I think they cover. But I think, look, it depends on which Colts team shows up. Because if it shows up the one that played the Jags.
It also, to me, it also depends on which secondary shows up for the Texans. Because at times, this secondary has looked good. The Colts can sling the ball around a little bit.
If T.Y. Hilton is a big part of that.
Yeah, they're top 10 in the NFL in passing yards per game. And they're actually scoring more than the Texans. So they can move the ball. I think one of the keys to this game, absolutely, is the Texans have to stay on the field. They have to run the ball, control the clock. and keep Andrew Luck and that passing attack off the field, they have a much better chance of winning this game, because Darius Leonard and that defense is not to be slept on. They're a decent defensive team. Not great, not horrible. They're decent. They're good enough, though, to stop a Texans offense at times that, you know, they like to run the ball, and the Colts are okay at running it, or at stopping the run. I mean, they'll give you up 100 a game. So I think that's why I say it. I think the Colts have the advantage in the passing game. The Texans have the advantage in the running game. The Texans can't give the ball up or turn the ball over on third down, especially since the Colts like going for it on fourth down. They could be on the field a lot longer. Time of possession could be key.
And you factor in defenses, because the Colts' defense hasn't been great all year.
Yeah.
But if their defense isn't above average, it's going to be tough to stop that Texans offense. So, all right, we'll see. All right, travel safe, my friend. Ain't going to hurt nobody. Give kid our best. Show him pictures of the fact that you once shared the same hairdo.
I tweeted out a picture of me and him side by side. I said one of these guys was known for having one of the best high top fades in the early 90s, and the other one was a rapper and Kid and Play. So, and I tagged him on it. So, he followed me on Twitter. So, no big deal. I'm just being followed by Kid.
Him and Buckshot no Bill and Melissa Milano.
I almost said Alanis Morissette.
Close enough.
That would have been fantastic. I would have loved that.
Difference there, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeez. All right, Barry's out. Nick and I will finish it up. Turn it over to the Blitz next. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects. Sports Map 94.1 and ESPN 97.5. Mustard cream, young gangster man,
gang sharper than a thumb. Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final segment of an F Yeah Friday on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, SportsMap 94.1. Barry on the road trying to get a head start and beat the weather, which I don't know he's going to do. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, Nicholas, because we don't have to worry about our water bills and sprinklers like that as much. But we're supposed to get between 6 and 8 inches of rain between 6 p.m. tonight and 6 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Yeah, and it looks like a legit report, because earlier this week, I believe there was supposed to be a massive drop-off in the temperature starting Tuesday, and it's been really nice out. This looks legit. This looks like we're going to get some rain, and I hate cold and rain.
Yes, you do.
I hate it.
But it's been a little chilly this week.
Not too bad.
It warmed up last night when they said this front was coming in, but there were days this week where it was in the low 40s in the morning.
I was of the belief maybe that it was going to like significantly drop on Tuesday and then just stay cold for the remainder of the week. That's what I was thinking.
So regardless of how your weekend goes, you need to look forward to the fact that you're going to get between 6 and 8 inches between 6 a.m., 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. So essentially it's a weekend for you. Right?
I love how people really thought we were going to talk lawn care.
Yeah.
Wow. While Barry was out.
Let's just get
save it on the text
that.
Line.
Yeah, save it for Saturday and Sunday. So with that being said, Nick, this is one that I thought I'd run by. I saw this earlier this week. Barry had put it on our rundown as well. But there's an article out now with a Harvard professor by the name of Eric Rim. He teaches health. Yes, his name's Eric Rim. Health and nutrition at the school, okay? He orders mixed greens with his bunless burger when he eats fast food. He calls potatoes, quote-unquote, starch bombs that should generally be avoided. However, he mentioned that certain areas of getting potatoes and starches into your diet are okay in moderation, until he defines what he means by moderation. He means that when you go to a drive-through window or you buy fast food, you should only eat 6 French fries and throw the rest
away.
Happening. Are you
not
kidding me?
Happening.
He said there aren't a lot of people who are going to be sending back 3/4 of an order of French fries, but it would be nice if your meal came with a side salad and 6 fries.
So this sounds like, you know how like to satisfy your daily intake of starch?
Yeah.
I think it's like a quarter size amount of, like you can only have so much pasta, otherwise you've overdid your daily intake.
Sure.
And it sounds ridiculously small and nobody does it. And it's the same thing. Even if you get a small order, a kid's meal, fries, you're eating significantly more than 6 French fries. So I don't understand. Yeah, there's no way. I'm the only way. I'm only eating six French fries. And Michelle brought this up to us, our promotions director, is if they only give you six French fries. Then even, I can only eat six French
fries. Even still, you'll probably knock the kid over next to you to make sure you get some more because you can't. It's like when they said with Lay's potato chips, you can only eat just one. You can't just eat six French fries.
No.
Let's be
impossible.
Real. Right?
Impossible.
Like even me, if we're going out on a cheat meal or something like that, six fries ain't going to cut it. I mean, you got to. And Lisa loves French fries. There's just no way six fries is going to satisfy anybody. And anybody that suggests that should need. They've stuck their nose in a book too long. Obviously, they're professors at Harvard. That's just totally ludicrous.
And I'm all for everything in moderation, portion size. I try to do that myself. But even when I'm trying to minimize a portion with French fries, it's not six.
Nope.
It's not six. Yeah, that's crazy.
You're eating fast food, so you're not watching anything in moderation anyway. So there's no way you're not going to eat more than six fries. That's just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't see how anybody does that.
Me either. All right, brother. Good. Another good week for Barry, who's on the road.
Yes, sir.
Nick and myself, we do all appreciate you and making us a part of your day Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. So with that being said, we want you all to have a fantastic weekend. Hopefully the Texans get you their 10th straight victory and you enjoy some time with friends and family. Until then, we're going to turn it over to Fred, AJ, Jong, and the Blitz. They're going to take you home till 7 o'clock. So you've got nothing but entertainment to worry about as you head into your weekend right here on SportsMap 94.1 and ESPN 97.5. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Then I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not. Yeah, boy.
ESPN 97.5.